Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We're back with the season finale, the one we needed, but not the one we deserved. Yes, I'm talking CW's Dynasty Season 3, Episode 20, Season Finale, My Hangover's Arrived. And by me, I mean me. Tehran is in the building, and if you don't know me, you don't know Dynasty. Unfortunately, my co-host, Maddie Ponce, could not be with us today, probably out with Fallon on another bachelorette party, because we know Maddie is a Carrington after all. We're going to be talking about how cruel and heartless a monster Blake can be. We're going to have some New Orleans discussions. We're going to get Hangover Part 4 and so much more as we break down this episode as thus. Fallon's prenup. Fallon's still mad at Liam, and we don't know why. Fallon's kidnapping, as if we haven't had enough kidnappings on Dynasty this season. Adam schemes, Adam dreams, and Adam is a scheming machine. Colby wants a divorce. Of course, now that Colby has the will to live, will he want to live with Alexis? Anders is a protective father after all. We've always questioned how Anders and Kirby are father-daughter simply because it doesn't seem that way at all times, but every now and then Adam's fatherly right comes through, and in this episode it definitely does, except it goes towards Adam. Our wow moment, which is where we pick the best outfit of the episode, news and gossip, predictions going into season 4, and so much more. You're gonna want to stay tuned for all of this. We have so much to discuss, and especially because this was a season finale. And before anyone critiques it too heavily, let's remember, due to COVID-19, this is not the season finale we were supposed to get. We were supposed to get a season finale in 3 more episodes, and yet they had to cut it short because they had to cut filming short. And while that was a regulation placed on all productions, what Dynasty attempted to do was give us the best season finale that they could. And we did get this season finale with episode 20, My Hangover's Arrived. So please take that into consideration before you start looking down on this season finale, simply because it was cut short and they had to set it up with whatever they could. And it, let's be very honest, it did lead us into wanting at least next week's episode. So now next week's episode is just gonna parlay into season 4. Parlay into season 4. Because having the concept, the hangover concept, we know Fallon eventually has to get married. So this is set up. Now we have a bachelorette party. Now we know this is very real. You tend not to have a bachelorette party if you don't have a date set. We know that Liam and Fallon still need to conclude Fallon and with Liam not telling Fallon about saving her father. But we realize Fallon in this episode, once again, every season we see a maturation of Fallon, and we see another one as she comes to what I would love to say is a self-realization, but it was actually the actualization based on the team that maybe Liam has a point. Fallon tends to overreact, overindulge, overdo everything. But that's who Fallon is. Fallon is extra, and we get a lot of extraness from Fallon in this week's episode. We also now see Colby, who is slightly maturing. We've never seen that before. Colby's always been so focused on revenge and vengeance against the Carrington family that to see him say, you know, I feel like that's not the point of life. That's a different Colby. He's taking this Adam route, especially because in contrast, we have Adam, who thought he was out, gets pulled right back in. So now Adam is back on the let's scheme against the Carrington side, while Colby's on the why are we scheming against the Carrington side? And with Adam and Colby mixing it up for real this time, there's so much drama in the Dynasty. It's going to be hard being C-O-L-B-Y. I guess that doesn't rhyme. It rhymes so much better in my head. The concept is we're going to get a lot of drama between Colby, Alexis, and of course, Adam, which is going to feel like a love triangle, especially with the weirdness that goes on between Adam and his mom. So we're going to get a lot of that going. And then finally setting up an investigation into Adam himself. Now, we as the audience are privy to the information Adam is actually much more psychologically damaged and disturbed than even most of the family knows. Adam clearly has toned down his incestuous rhetoric. He's toned down his diabolical behavior. But as it's getting ramped up a little, Anders is going to be the linchpin to all of that, right? So Anders, us finding out that Anders is heading this investigation into Adam, that's going to set off a lot of alarms that haven't been set off before as he finds more and more about what happened to Adam's adopted mother and, of course, how he found out the truth, what happened between Adam and his real mother, Alexis, with Adam shoving Alexis. I think we've all forgot that. Alex shoved Alexis into a fireplace and burned her face off, okay? You know how long you have to keep someone in a fireplace to burn their face off completely? I don't know, but Adam does. So we get all these points that are going to set up what we're going to get in season four, which is going to mean that season four is going to be as explosive as ever. We're going to get a season four that's going to be outrageous because they have to finish up what went on in season three and introduce what they had planned for season four before the series finale of season four. Hopefully that means that we get an overexposed, an over-cataloged season four. We're going to get so much action that there won't be time to lull out a season, something that they tend to do whenever you have these 20-plus show seasons. They tend to give us a couple episodes that tend to be filler. However, next season, they won't have time is what we're hoping. So just remember that as we talk about the season finale. I thought it was very fun. I thought it was great. And it did make me want season four. Of course, it wasn't as great as it should have been, but it was much better than it could have been. And that is the key. Talking first, we're going to bring up Fallon's prenup. Fallon is going into a prenup with Liam because she's still upset that Liam did not express to her, explain to her, or let her in on the plan to save her father. Of course, Liam had his own reasons. Reason number one, Fallon seems and deems to overreact to everything. And of course, we know this is true. Let's just recount how Fallon and what Fallon did simply to get the wrong group to come sing at her wedding. Remember when she gave a speech in Crystal's place at a charity that Crystal had started and was basically the foundation of? Exactly. So Fallon does tend to get into a lot of trouble and overreact and overdo things. And this particular situation called for tact. And that's what Liam was going for. That's why Liam did what he did. So while I understand it, with or without condoning it, I completely understand what Liam did. Colhane said it best. Maybe he did what he thought was best for you. And of course, Colhane would have a lot of experience with Fallon as we saw him being face-to-face with Fallon and Kirby at the same time. I cannot understand how that's never awkward in Dynasty, where you're just always constantly surrounded by all the women that you've had intimate relations with at any given time, all in one family, in one family. So we do understand why Liam did what he did. Now, do we understand why Fallon did what she did? She came up with the prenup, which under ordinary circumstances would make complete sense. A billionaire who was marrying someone should probably have a prenup. I'm sure Jeff Bezos wishes he had a prenup as we speak. However, that's not what happened. What happened in this case is the fact that Fallon wants a prenup because she wants to express to Liam all the rules and regulations she feels is necessary to convince him to be her equal, not because she needs to hide her wealth. Liam is also a billionaire. We tend to forget that since they seem to be living off of Fallon's dime, or at least everything seems to just always be paid for. Liam also comes from an extremely wealthy family and is a billionaire on his own right. Plus, he has all that book money that he made. I mean, Liam's not poor at all. It's not over money. Fallon wants to be felt to be made an equal because she felt Liam kept the secret from her. But the truth is, And this is something that we all must remember. If we are what we are, if Fallon's an actual equal with her partner, she doesn't need it to be stated legally. It would just be a forlorn conclusion. So that's why we have to realize with Fallon that Fallon, you are a grown up. You don't need to prove anything to Liam with legality. You need to prove it to him with your actions. With your actions, we need to know that everything you're doing is because you are mature, Fallon. That's what Liam, by the way, who loves you as is, simply was going out of his way to protect you. It wasn't because he didn't trust you or he doesn't know you or he was trying to hide something from you. He was trying to protect you. He was trying to do himself the service and not get you involved because you would make matters worse, which says a lot about you, Fallon. And finally, the fact that everyone agrees or tends to take Liam's side is telling you something as well. It's not all of them. It's all of you, Fallon. So I hope Fallon learns her lesson and she kind of grows up in that way. We saw some of that in this episode, not all the way. Of course, she tended to still be very selfish when it came to Allison, her assistant who came along on the trip. Let's get to the kidnapping. We've had a lot of kidnappings on this season. This one, however, thankfully, was fun. We get Fallon leaving the Carrington Manor and a bag placed on her face as Kirby's talking to Anders. And then Fallon is taken. Where do they go? They're on the jet and they are heading towards New Orleans, the home of Mardi Gras. And that's where it becomes fun. We get the crew. The crew is Kirby and Sammy. Of course, they have to be there. They're the BFFs. Even after all the things that went down with Kirby and Fallon and Fallon Unlimited and the publishing group and everything, they're still BFFs. They made up. I don't know how, but they made up. Sammy and Fallon, of course, are our co-defendants most of the time. And so those two needed to be there. Surprise, surprise crew member number one, Crystal. Crystal pops up as Sammy explains Crystal was drinking alone in the most pitiful ways, and she needed this. Now, Crystal explains it, of course, two different ways at two different times. The first way she explains it is she needed to get away from all and drown her own miseries and sorrow and have a good time and have a wild time, of course. Sure, that's way number one. But number two, she also expresses to Crystal that no matter what happens between, she also expresses to Fallon that no matter what happens between Crystal and her father, whatever happened between Crystal and Blake, that Crystal and Fallon's relationship would still be intact. They would still be friends. And there's been a love-hate between these two as Crystal, of course, has grown on Fallon and Fallon has grown on Crystal. Now, they might not be mother-daughter, stepmother, stepdaughter, whatever that relationship should be, but they definitely have a clear-cut friendship. And they have been there for each other in the past and will hopefully again continue to be there in the future. I feel like this trip actually made them really tight and it actually expanded their relationship into something of a bond. Finally, we get the guest that none of us expected, Allison from Fallon Unlimited. Allison, who's Fallon's assistant. We've seen tidbits of Allison, but we didn't really get to know her. We had never seen her really. She's obviously something of a Fallon's footstool. She's always leading and trying to basically impress Fallon in every given time. But we finally see a little more of her in this episode. And we've always wanted to see just a little more of her. She's always been a curiosity. She's always been a little fun. She's always been almost like the butt of the joke, or we've seen this trope before, the assistant who's so eager to please, especially to Fallon's. We get Fallon's assistant being that Devil's Wear Prada assistant, not Anne Hathaway, but the other one who's extremely going out of her way to impress Emily Blunt, who played that. So it's always good to see that come out and get to see more of, we get to see more of Allison. Allison was so fun. She's brought along, of course, because she's supposed to be the chaperone. The chaperone, she's almost brought in as an employee on the bachelorette party. Of course, all of this goes wrong. How can it not? You have Crystal, Fallon, Sammy, Kirby, and poor Allison in New Orleans, of course it's all going to go wrong. We know it's going to go wrong. There's no other way it can go. Allison being played by Nicole Zayana did an amazingly wonderful job. She's so fun. We even get to see a bit of a flash from her from behind, of course, as she flashes the bartender. Great, fun group of people to go. Of course, there was no other way this would head but in the Hangover direction. So as soon as they said bachelorette party, I feel like most of us understood it was going to be a Hangover thing. We get there. They even give us this beautiful view, this penthouse suite. And of course, Mistress Delphine, who is the this concoctress. She creates potions, alcoholic potions, these libelous drinks that are just going to create the mood or set the tone. They take a sip. Next thing you know, we wake up in the morning. There's a snake slithering away. The place is wrecked, and all the rules are thrown out the window. What are the rules? These are things that Fallon said she did not want. Sachets, sashes. What else? She said she didn't want any pictures because they will be tacky and ugly, and she didn't want any pictures. She didn't want any strip clubs. She didn't want any of these things. And of course, all of these things happen, but we have to piece them together. Fallon wakes up. There's a marriage certificate in her hand. We automatically assume she married someone else. That would be the ruin of this for Liam, because of course for Liam, it would prove everything that Liam says about Fallon. It is tangible proof. This Fallon, do you see what I'm talking about? You tend to get yourself in crazy situations. Fallon goes to New Orleans, not even Vegas, by the way, goes to New Orleans. And something about that, by the way, of them not going to Vegas, but going to New Orleans, I feel like that has some copyrightness to it because they didn't want to infringe too much on the Hangover concept and idea. They wake up, this marriage certificate, they have sashes everywhere. They have no idea what happened. Crystal wakes up with a black eye of all people, so it's reminiscent of a face tattoo. Something just happens to Crystal's eye. What happened? Sammy has the worst hangover, and no one in the crew notices. Allison's just not there. No one noticed until they actually get arrested, and Cole Hain brings it up of all people. So they go back to the store that the sash is from, and they obviously find, and that, by the way, seeing the sash at the store, this is why this was very interesting. At the store, they are catered to by the guy who was in Family Matters. He plays Waldo on Family Matters. So a throwback to the 80s right there, going into the 90s, that show Family Matters, it was the same guy. I hadn't seen him in so long. I was like, where have I seen this guy? Oh, man, he's from my childhood. It's an actor. I'm looking for his name right now. But Sean Harrison. Sean Harrison plays the store owner. And it was so fun to see that happen, just to see this guy, someone we hadn't seen in a while, come back. Like, at least from the 90s, early 90s. Like, I was like a kid and Family Matters was a thing. Anyway, we get Monsieur Renald in the store. And, of course, they get that surveillance video. They think they're getting surveillance video. They're trying to figure things out. And then we find out that they shoplifted from the store. They basically robbed the store and took it. And that Monsieur Renard, who seems to be very helpful, of course, contacted the police, and they're all put in jail. Boom. So they're sitting in jail. The reason why it's important is not just because we know it's the beginning of a wild night, but also, very important, this is where we have that moment where everyone basically tells Fallon about herself. Like, Fallon, you are this person. You are very much this way. Crystal does it. Kirby does it. Sammy does it. When everyone is telling you something and they haven't conferred about it in before, it's probably because there's a lot or at least some truth to it. Fallon, of course, is very resistant to it, but realizes that as Cole Hain shows up, I'm still feeling some sparks between Cole Hain and Fallon and Cole Hain and Kirby. Even though nothing keeps happening, I just feel the sparks. Maybe it's just because it's like three really attractive people and they kind of talk to each other and they subconsciously are giving off the vibe. I don't know what it is, but I still feel this spark every time Cole Hain talks to Kirby And every time Kohane talks to Fallon, it's that myth that men feel that they can always get any girl they've ever been with. And I feel that so much when I see these, any ramification of the three basically interact. I see that. I see it happening. I basically feel that sexual energy. It can't just be me. It can't just be me. I can't be the only one that feels that Kohane and Fallon or Kohane and Kirby or Kohane and a trio. I don't know. It's Dynasty. Anything can happen. So after this, they go to the strip club. Well, actually, they realize Allison's missing. They find Allison. Allison's in the hospital. The fact that Allison's in the hospital with a concussion after falling off the mechanical bull and no one did anything makes you realize how selfish Fallon, especially, but the crew is. They're very self-indulged. They don't even realize Allison's missing. Sure, they have hangovers, but that's no reason to notice that Allison isn't there. Allison, they basically talk over Allison, aren't very helpful or ask her if she's okay. Even Fallon says, we need to go find Allison so we can figure out the rest of the story. Oh, and see if she's okay. And of course, they've been getting phone calls all day from an unknown number, which I thought unknown meant that the number didn't show up. Clearly it means at least the way they used it, or at least they corrected it, where it was a number that they just didn't recognize and they called it back. Because when they called it back, my first thought was, of course, guys, you can't call back a blocked, private, or unknown number. But they tried to make it infer as if it's a number just simply Kirby didn't recognize. Okay, we'll buy that. But if it was me and I'm lost, the first number, like even now, people who call me from unidentified numbers are the numbers I pick up first, because those are people I don't know what they want. Everyone else, I kind of know what other people who are calling me tend to want. Like I know what they want. If I told someone I'll be there in 5 minutes and they keep calling me, I know what they want. I know what they want. I get it. I just don't need to talk to them about it. So I would have picked that number up first. They go, they see Allison. Allison is in the hospital. Figures out that they went to a strip club. They go to the strip club. They can't get in. Of course, it's another place. They are persona non grata. They're not supposed to go in. The bouncer's like, leave before I call the cops. We're familiar with that. We saw what happened the last time someone called the cops at a place they had been to the night before. Allison flashes her breasts, then takes off with the guard's walkie-talkie. So the guard takes off after her. Sammy says she deserves a raise. I think that's a foreshadow that we will see more of Allison in the next season, that there will be more of a place, a recurring role or something of that nature for Allison. There's got to be a reason why introduce Allison now if they didn't have her in mind for the rest of season 3. And that means that it's going to pass over to season 4. There's got to be a reason why we're getting so much more Allison. We're getting a cutesy version of her. We got a version of her on the phone later, when they have those pictures that they weren't supposed to have taken where she's kissing a girl. I mean, we're getting a lot of sides to Allison, which would be very, very irresponsible if there is no more Allison going into the next season or again, simply because if nothing else, there should have been 3, maybe 4 episodes left on this season alone. So getting more Allison means something. We find out, thankfully, that Scorpio, the guy that we thought Fallon had married, a stripper, is actually extremely cute, by the way, extremely cute, good looking guy, played by, I'm looking for his name right now, his name ended up being Ryan, his name is Lachlan Buchanan, by the way, when he was on stage and he was dancing, I was like, I already figured out that this guy couldn't have married Fallon. He gave this like, it didn't feel like he was interested in Fallon or women vibe. Like he just had this vibe where he's like, I felt like he was looking at Sammy even when he was on stage. So we get off stage, and the reason why that's the thing is because, of course, he was married to Sammy and not to Fallon the whole time, even though he had Fallon's engagement ring on. I mean, Fallon, that's very irresponsible to give up your engagement ring, especially when that bad boy looks like it's worth a couple mil, right? So we get that, and he's actually extremely level-headed and sweet and breaking that stereotype of a stripper, as everyone in the crew condescendingly refers to him as stripper. He's speaking to them as equals. He's also very, very intelligent and kind. He kept their purses and their cell phones, and he had no intentions of swindling them whatsoever, something that could have easily been done, especially since he's now married to billionaire Sammy, hotel owner Sammy. And Sammy brings up, so we're going to get a quick annulment, and Ryan puts up no fight with it. The only thing actually Ryan wants is for Sammy to call him if he's ever in town and vice versa, which lets you know a lot, especially since we haven't seen Sammy in a relationship ever since homeboy cheated on him. So it's time for Sammy to have something. Sammy's a lover on the inside. He says to Ryan he's trying to keep it cash, but let's be honest, we all knew that he meant that he was going to call him. He has to. Ryan's a cutie. Sammy's a cutie. Let's see what happens with those two, or at least get Sammy back on the horse. He's had two relationships in the last 2 years. One guy is basically gone off the face of the dynasty, even though he is a Carrington himself and no one's asked about where he went. And one guy was married and denied him as soon as Sammy went over to the house one day with being unannounced. So hopefully something comes up. There was a spark. There was clearly some interest. There was clearly some interest on Sammy's part, and of course, much interest on Ryan's part. So we'll see how that plays out. That looks like something that might have to lead into a season 4 as well. We get Adam back on his schemes. Adam is scheming again. I mean, Adam, we had Saint Adam for a while, and I actually really bought into Saint Adam after it being force-fed down my throat. I was like, okay, I'm on board. I like Adam being the good guy, especially when he was the only redeeming character on the show. He was trying to do everything right and by the book and stay out of trouble. And then we realized after he saw what he feels is the true colors of Blake, when Blake basically was willing to sacrifice Adam for his own safety, yet in return makes Adam number two at CA, Carrington Atlantic, which is all that Blake seems to care about, is having that legacy, having that business, setting that system into action with Carrington Atlantic. Adam's back in scheming. Adam wants to take down Carrington Atlantic, and he's poised in the perfect position to do so. He's Blake's right-hand man in this company. I mean, he's in the company. Blake has appointed him VP or whatever position is his right-hand man, and he's got this inside track, inside scoop, and he's using this information to ruin Blake. First, of course, he releases the information to all the newspapers that Moldovan oil was stolen and that Moldova wants their oil tankers back, and this is Carrington Atlantic, which leads to an investigation by the energy department, and the energy department basically goes in after Blake, and they freeze Carrington Atlantic's trade ability. Then Blake, always having a plan B, comes out and has a person on the energy commission. So he contacts her and they meet in a secret location, which Adam finds out, swindling Blake. Oh yeah, I'd love a shot of whiskey. They get threatened by a canister that said Moldova, like as if there would be a smoke or anything like that bomb that would go off, basically pepper spray bomb or whatever that was, that would go off and just have the name of the country, like, we're rebels from this country, take it, go off. But sure, of course, the energy commissioner is freaked out, isn't willing to go along with Blake, but Blake manages to convince her. At least that's what he tells Adam. So Adam then has the tankers explode, destroying $500 million worth of oil, has the oil tankers explode in the refinery, causing a loss of $500 million. Like, I understand you want revenge against Blake, but do you realize people's lives could have been lost? Do you realize that people's jobs are going to be lost? Carrington Atlantic fails. All the people that work for Carrington Atlantic that aren't billionaires, that aren't tied to Blake, that have nothing to do with your personal vendetta and vengeance, they're all going to lose their jobs. This is when these titans don't look upon us regular people. Like, you need to realize how your actions are adversely affecting everyone else as well. This is no longer Blake's fault. This is you, Adam. This is you being destructive, and we've seen what happens when you play with fire in the past. When you burned that winery down, you felt horrible, especially when Blake was done with you. So why are you doing it again? What do you want? What do you want from Blake? Do you want him to hurt? You want him to, that's what I feel about anyone who's a terrorist, anyone who is in this situation. Cobra Commander, what do you want? What is ultimately your goal? Do you want Blake to die? If you want Blake to die, then you should start thinking of a way to just simply kill Blake. Do you want him to hurt by destroying his business and let him feel pain? He's not going to feel the pain because you've caused it. He's going to feel angry by you. He's going to be dismayed by you. He's going to be infuriated by you. It's not going to be pain in the truest sense. Do you want Blake to lose everything and that somehow will make you feel better? Do you realize, Adam, that your wealth is actually tied specifically to Blake's? That your job at the hospital and all that does not pay for all the ways that you live and your lifestyle? I mean, I don't understand what Adam ultimately wants. And I think that's one of the big, at first it was out of pain, but now when he's doing it out of vengeance and there's nothing to avenge, I think it's just a pointless continuation down a path that's destructive. Thankfully, a person who realized that was Colby. Colby realized that with this episode, and we finally get Colby and Mia hooking up. We love Mia. I love me some Mia. Mia is Shannon Thornton. She's a cutie. She's sweet. I want Colby with the Mia, but of course, Alexis wasn't about it. She walks in and finds the two in bed, then has the lunch with Mia, basically explaining, yeah, it is an arrangement because she could have made it really bad. But then, of course, she did make it really bad, Alexis style, by sabotaging Mia's purse and setting her up for being on Sugar for Daddies. What was the website called? Sugar for Hire, a sugar daddy website, as if Mia... And hiring an actor, by the way, to go over and be like, oh, you're with Mia? Yeah, she's great, isn't she? Worth every penny I paid for. Alexis, why? If you had concerns, you could have just spoke to Colby. You didn't have to be this old Alexis, the Alexis that just has to scheme her way into everything. Colby, of course, I love how he points out, he says, you do know I'm a tech billionaire, right? Like, I'm a tech billionaire. I figured it all out. I saw your credit card paid for that purse, and it was you who set up her account. I already did a background check. I love that that came right out, and they didn't drag this storyline out because it would have been extremely annoying of a storyline. It was great to see that they came up to a conclusion where Alexis basically pulls her, brings her walls down, and tells Colby, says, hey, Colby, I'll be honest, I feel a certain type of way. I like you. I feel like you like me. Let's be together. The two, of course, consummate their marriage. I don't know if it's the first time, but it felt like it was the first time they've actually consummated their marriage. We've seen them kissing before, but nothing more. And even when they were kissing, it seemed to be for a purpose. Therefore, it was the first time they consummated their marriage, and it seemed like Colby liked it. I wanted Mia, but I understand Alexis. I'm not happy that it's Alexis. I think it's a little weird that it's Alexis. I mean, technically, this is your aunt. This is your uncle's wife. I mean, there's so much incest that goes on. This is Game of Thrones. Even Game of Thrones blushes at Dynasty, like, oh, not again. So we get a lot of that. It's all interconnected. But we'll see this, and also it's leading into something more. Colby, of course, exclaiming, now that I have a life, now that I'm going to live, I don't want it to be put in this energy to just bring down Blake. Like, I don't need that negative energy in my life. Alexis being determined, and especially Adam being gung-ho about it. I feel like Alexis is on the split decision edge. She could go either way. She's teetering. She's not as gung-ho about bringing down Blake either, because even when Adam comes back with plan B, she's like, sure, that sounds great, but more so to keep Colby. And then when it comes back with plan C, she's like, maybe we should just let it go. So she's teetering. That's going to be something that builds up. And of course, finally, we get Anders, and Anders being protective of Kirby. And this is where we're getting that double edge angle towards Adam, because Anders is protective of Kirby. We know that he loved Kirby and Cohane, finds out it's Kirby and Adam, does not appreciate that whatsoever, especially after an investigation that he's holding for Carrington Atlantic to have a press release on Adam. comes back with that information regarding his juvenile record. We know Adam has been dangerous in the past. We know Adam and his adopted mother, he killed her. We know Adam and his current biological mother, he stuffed her in the fireplace. Anders uncovers that as well with medical documents that prove it. So, of course, he brings it up to Kirby at the beginning of the episode. He was like, Kirby, you know, I trust you. And then later he brings it up and Kirby's like, I thought you said you trust me. And he's like, well, not this time because you chose wrongly. Kirby, of course, brings this up to Adam. And now I'm thinking that maybe Anders is in danger from Adam because Adam would hate for his secrets to be exposed. And that's where we leave off on this episode, a season finale, CW's Dynasty Season 3, Episode 20. My hangover's arrived. We get all of these things that are leading into what should have been the rest of season three, but we're going to push them into season four. And that is going to be worth enough for us to stay around and watch a season four, because not only do we love Dynasty, but we love the drama. Let's be honest. We're in it to win it. So let's find out what happens. Let's get to our special segment, Wow, where we pick the best outfit of the episode, the best outfit of the episode. And I'm going to go with the best outfit of the episode is Kirby's pink bow tie outfit or Sammy's all gold shirt that he was going to purchase from Monsieur Renard. As they walk out, as they're getting escorted out by the police, of course, Sammy knocks down the shirt and says, tacky. And that's exactly what it was. And yet it was very cute. It was, Kirby was like holding it up. It was like this pink bow at the top. Just so gaudy and so fun. And it's good to sometimes have fun outfits, especially when you recognize that they're gaudy and tacky. That's the best. That's when I actually appreciate it, because in the past I've been extremely critical of the outfits, especially when they wear tacky things on purpose. Vanessa was an amazing perpetrator of the tacky outfit. This time we get Kirby in one, and it was cute and it was fun, and they are just having a fun time with libations in New Orleans. So thank you, Kirby, for even rocking that. It was, you're a cutie. Kirby is a cutie, and we all know this to be true. Let's talk some news and gossip, shall we? So news and gossip is, basically, most of us were caught off guard. Most of us were caught off guard, and ProgramInsider.com brings this up as they talk about the CW's Dynasty concluding their season. We get a lot of shows that have to conclude their season out of nowhere, and of course, Dynasty was on that list. Dynasty, which is opening up to a 0.1 viewership, we had 397,000 viewers coming in at number 5 on that 9 p.m. slot on Friday. So we see that, and we got a lot of season finales. Season finales, of course, which included MacGyver and Magnum P.I., shows we don't care about, but the show we did care about, this Dynasty. We were all caught off guard by it, and so were they. They were expecting a longer season. COVID-19, who knew? Dr. Fauci. So what I'm saying is, we get this season finale. I talked about this at the beginning of our episode. We get the season finale. Just remember that this is the season finale that we needed, even though it's not the one we deserved. And be thankful that we got one and that all production wasn't halted, or that they didn't push or put the cast lives in danger by continuing with the production that we knew would be doomed from the start. So we did get something. They tried their best and they made it happen. That's a lot to say, more than other shows that were caught in mid-streaming and actually had to conclude their programs as is with no season finale or direction. At least with Dynasty, we get direction, and that's where we leave it off. Jumping into predictions. Now, I miss Maddie here.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I miss Maddie here right now. I miss having a Maddie to point out all the obvious things that are going to happen. So I'm going to take a very less obvious route. I think that we're going to get Adam and Anders having not only butting heads, but something disastrous, which Kirby finds out. And then so Adam makes an enemy out of Kirby, because Kirby's going to choose blood's thicker than water. Kirby's father is going to be thicker in her heart than her lover. And so we're going to see that Adam sets up Anders possibly by separating him from Kirby, and then Kirby figuring it out and exposing Adam. We know Kirby's really good at exposing people. So remember, I said this here, Adam and Anders are going to get into it because Anders is going to want to keep Kirby away from Adam. Adam is going to do something to separate or push Kirby away from her father. We saw Kirby already be basically separated when she went into the cult she was part of. So it's not like that's unheard of. However, we're going to go back into the concept of Kirby figuring it out or finding out definitively and then exposing Adam herself. That's what I think, number one. Number two, we're going to get Alexis. I think Alexis's podcast is going to grow beyond measure, and she's going to become uncontrollable at that point. And while Kobe was willing to be together, I think they're going to be together for real, and that's going to cause way more problems than we realize. I think that they're going to be the ones who kind of push Adam. They leave Adam's side on his quest to basically get vengeance, pointless vengeance against Blake. I think Crystal and Blake are going to get back together, and then Blake is going to find out about father homeboy and just be over it and just be like, I cannot believe you did this to me. And that's going to cause their true separation, especially since this is marriage number three for Blake. I think that Fallon and Liam are headed towards marital bliss, but it's not going to be an easy road to get there. We already stumbled with the fake child and that turned out to be his brother now and all these things. I think that there's going to be one more huge obstacle in our way before we get to this wedding that everyone's going to be against, but they're going to be for. And I think that we're going to get a lot more Cole Hane in season four. I think Cole Hane, we saw a brief appearance in this one, but talk about maturation. Cole Hane has matured the most into the CEO entity, and he's taking it very seriously. And I think that we're going to see Cole Hane flourish in season four. But who knows? Only you all do. As we talk about some Dynasty, let me know your thoughts below. I appreciate each and every one of you for being with us this entire season. Thank you to all you After Buzzers at home for sharing, subscribing, liking, commenting. Your comments give me life. So thank you for your comments. Please, if you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5-star rating we so greatly deserve. And we will see you back right here next season with more CW's Dynasty. Until then, you can find me at I Am Tehran all across the board. That's I-A-M-T-E-H-R-A-N. And of course, hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz After shows, because all of your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Until next season, Dynastyers, bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.